It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chop.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guide.
Welcome and good morning. You're listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend, and we are dead in the middle of summer. I think we're beyond that holiday weekend, and it's full force. So if you're not out in your backyard grilling and creating some envy in your neighborhood, you're overdue. Get out there and make it happen. But I'm Jop. Barbecue Bob is back. So it's good to see you, brother. Yeah, man.
Aloha.
Aloha. So we're going to, things are going to get back to normal if there is such a thing as normal, right? Okay, so Bob's on the phone. He hasn't got the whole thing figured out yet, but we're going to get there.
I'm trying to text somebody.
Okay.
I'm not driving.
Right, yeah, exactly. Just driving the show. I'll get that taken care of. Also joining us in the studio, we have the foraging, fishing, and all-around fun guy, woo-hoo, Brad Ensing from Garrett's Appliances. And we are. It's always a treat when he's here because this guy's got some unique hobbies. But we'll cover some of those during the show as well, right?
Yeah, he can sell you appliances or find you some mushrooms or fish.
Right, and you know, the springtime is the time when a lot of that foraging happens, and I'm sure it's throughout the summer. Who am I to know? We're going to figure that all out from him while he's here. But it's just always an interesting conversation. But so this past weekend, I was up at a old boys camp called Tosebo in Onekama, Michigan. And what a delightful place. Built in 1912, rather. So it's over 100 years old, and there's three guys that own it now. And we went up there, 24 of us. And there was a little bit of drinking, a lot of grilling, some kayaking, some deep water fishing out in the Great Lakes. There was a lot of stuff going on, and a bunch of played golf, too. But you know, you get the picture, right? But I had the pleasure of kayaking the Manistee River for 2 days in a row. We went from Tippy Dam to High Bridge and then High Bridge down to, I think it's a River Road launch there. It was about 4 hours both days on the river. But that branch from Tippy Dam down to High Bridge is a little bit narrower, and it is full of brown trout and walleye. Saw some suckers, but the water was clear. We hadn't had rain in a few days. And, man, was it just a delight to float down that river. In the 2 days, I saw 6 bald eagles. I don't know if I saw the same 3 twice, but we were on different stretches of the river. So they're alive and flourishing up there. It was beautiful. We actually made a stop, as you do, you know, have a beer or whatever. And there was one sitting in a tree right above us. 20 minutes we stayed there at that stop, and he never moved.
Yeah, he's pretty brave.
Yeah, right. Yeah, oh yeah. He didn't care we were there. You know, just the littlest guy was the only one he was looking at. Right. Yeah.
I saw a video the other day of one swooping down at a child, and this mom runs and grabs this toddler just in time, and it looked like a small airplane coming in on this kid. But yeah, they're good hunters.
Yeah, and beautiful birds, and just made you feel proud to be an American. You know, Thursday was D-Day. When you say proud to be an American. There, I was watching a little bit of that on the news, and there was over 150 guys in Normandy that were over 100 years old that were there to do the 80th anniversary.
That's so cool.
Oh,
I saw a video of those guys on an airplane.
Yeah,
and they looked actually for 95 to 105. They looked pretty good.
Yeah,
but these guys have already been through everything. They're going to be hard to kill.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they're all centurions almost. I mean, you know, if it's 80 years ago and you were 19 when you went, that was, you're 99, and you know, there's a lot of them that were older. And so,
I had a business trip in the UK about 5 years ago when I was with the Canadians, and when we got done with our 6 days in Birmingham, we caught a train to Calais. And then went up into Belgium and did a bunch of Trappist breweries.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We did a bunch of Trappist breweries.
Okay.
And then we went down to the beaches of Normandy.
Yeah.
Wow. We didn't know it, but That was actually the last day that any of the events were going to be open. They actually closed for about a month.
Yeah.
So we got to see everything.
Good.
It's a phenomenal sight. Right. But my bride took me out this last week to the Van Andel to see a guy named Nate Bargatze or Bargatz. And he's a famous, very famous comedian. He's like sold the thing out three different days now. Good comedian, and he had a heck of a show, and I tried my best to enjoy it, even though I didn't really know the guy. I've seen him a little bit. He's real dry, but I was sitting right next to the most obnoxious woman you could possibly ever sit next to in a comedy show.
You and your wife didn't have seats together?
Yeah, we did. Oh. She was on the other side of me.
Oh, okay.
And she just,
might want to clarify that. Yeah.
She just laughed so hard at like everything, and she had this like Wilma Flintstone laugh.
Yeah.
And I mean, I almost choked her after about a half an hour. So my wife switched seats with me. But, oh my gosh. What an event.
Yeah.
So I'm sure Nate Bargatze is very good, but I really had a hard time enjoying the show.
Well, you know, that happens. You should have bought a better ticket. No, I'm kidding. But
I'm sorry anyway. I mentioned it.
Yep. So she was probably, nah, whatever. Brad, you had your breakfast while we were here, and you cooked some fish outside. He's a little stingy guy. He didn't bring us any. He just ate his breakfast out there. But maybe there's more down there. That's what I'm kidding.
Holy smokes. Yeah, absolutely. So, been fishing a lot.
Yeah, and you got a new boat, didn't you?
Last year we got a new Tritune.
Yeah.
And then I bought a old beat-up Basscat bass boat. My wife was kind of nice.
Perfect.
You know,
to
let me go out and do that. So, been going out fishing with some buddies. Took my daughter the last couple days.
Is that boat fiberglass?
It is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's got a 200 horse on it.
Nice.
About 65 miles an hour. So
great.
You can get to the fish a little faster.
So it's beat up, but perfect because fishing's not kind to boats.
Well, it's a nice looking boat, but it's a 97. So it's
beautiful.
It's getting close to 40 years old, but daughter and I went fishing last night, went out to Crockery Lake in Conklin, did pretty well. So this morning, I thought I'd actually come in, and I changed it up a little bit. So we fried some fish, made some homemade relish, but I was just talking to Bobo here that I actually used pepper relish for my tartar sauce, and then I actually made a Indian fish curry that I've got over riced cauliflower. And then why not, just to be a little different, I've been on a kick of baking recently since I can't eat baked goods.
I noticed that.
But I made toasted coconut macarons. So why not? We'll change it up. You know,
well, at some point we'll get to foraging, but right now he's a chef in the kitchen.
I see your pictures all the time on these little cookies you're making here. What do you call them?
They're called macarons.
Yeah, macarons.
With almond. They're made basically with almond flour and then a lot of powdered sugar.
So you're on a very strict diet.
Yeah.
You're staying away from gluten?
No. We have diabetic issues in my family.
Okay.
So I just not very many carbs and a lot more exercise nowadays than I used to.
And that's okay for everybody, really.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
If you want to lose weight.
I had my 60-year physicals top to bottom, and I'm on metformin now because my A1C was above 7.
What is that?
Metformin is a diabetic medicine, I'm on it. But it's for 90 days I've been on it since I had the physical, and it's down to 6.2. They told me it's great, but so I'm borderline, I guess. But they said we're going to keep you on the medicine and for another 90 days and see what's going on.
Yeah, I was on all that stuff.
Yeah,
high blood pressure medication, metformin. Statin, they had me on shots for a while, and I actually went from being pre-diabetic to full-blown diabetes, and now I'm off all my medication.
And how'd you do that?
Diet and exercise.
Diet and exercise.
Right.
It's amazing. If you want to do it, you can do it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I would tell you that I've known people that have gone both ways. I'm not big on pharmaceuticals at all. I'm like the, people call me anti-vaxxer and all this stuff.
We sound like a bunch of old guys here now.
Well,
right?
But hey, guess who's listening?
Right, yeah, I get it. There'll be some out there. But no, we always like to share because it's life, man. It's what we do. But coming up next, we're going to talk a little bit more about Brad's fishing expeditions because I saw a picture of a big old muskie on your Facebook, so we're going to talk about that. Stick with us. We'll be back.
With the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone.
Fen Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fenville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine. Fen Valley Vineyards.
Hi, this is Jim, founder of Schmoe's Brewing Company. We're a small, family-owned brewery that serves the Grand Rapids neighborhoods. We do things a bit differently at Schmoe's, sort of old school. We make all the styles of beer true to style. That's our focus. So you want to relax and enjoy a well-made craft beer that tastes like a craft beer is supposed to taste, stop into Schmoe's. We're located in Cascade on Patterson Ave, right before the ice rink. Or check us out at schmoes.com. We're open every day but Sunday.
The Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Bob is back in the studio. We didn't talk about any of the cooking you did in that month that you were gone, but tell us a little bit about, you had a little journey. And
yeah, so staying with my brother-in-law, Paul, who I hunt with.
Right.
We had so much fun because we get to hang out every night. We're not deer hunting.
Right.
But we still get to hang out on his deck. He's got a beautiful home and... You know, his wife's just a sweetheart, and she loves it when I'm there because I cook.
Yeah, yeah.
And so he got to practice on his grill, and he got to confess that he really sucks at grilling. Because I never talked to any of my family about grilling because, you know, that's their own. I don't want to be the, you know, lord anything over anybody or, you know, the know-it-all or, oh, you're the grilling guy, you got to, you know, no. Not. If you want some help, give me a call. So when I got there, I brought him a thermopen, and I saw his grill, and it was actually pretty decent. Big box grill, but I was surprised at how well it grilled, and I was, you know, because you know what it's like when you show up at somebody's place and
oh, sure.
You don't know what you got for a grill.
Yep. Where the hot spots are.
Yeah. Yep. So anyway, what I found out is that his wife needs everything burnt.
What?
So he's just been doing that all the time. So I showed him how he can do his, and the thermopen really helped him because he really likes medium or medium rare.
Right.
But he always gets used to eating everything well done because his wife, as many women do, not like to see any pink in their meat.
Right.
Which kills me. It's just shameful.
Right. Eating shoe leather, not fun.
No.
No, nor flavorful.
No.
Generally.
So the best part of the whole thing was he finally got comfortable with his grill.
Good.
And he's 70.
Yeah. Yep. But, you know, that's the thing is you, if you don't try things, you're never going to figure it out.
You're never too late.
And he's a good guy for trying to please his wife every time he grilled, but, you know, at his expense. So now he can do it both ways.
Yeah.
It's all about time and temperature. That's all it is.
So, but, Brad, tell us what you put there in the bowl, that curry.
Oh, you guys got to try it.
I'm going to.
We have a Indian fish curry.
I love curry.
And it's got a little zip to it. Now,
good.
I didn't do serrano peppers, but I've got quite a bit of pureed up jalapenos in there.
No cayenne?
No cayenne. It is amazing. You should just get yourself a bowl. Now, like I said, since I don't do a lot in carbs anymore, I actually use a rice cauliflower.
And how
just
do you
makes
like
it
that?
Healthier. So
it's okay.
Rice cauliflower is okay, but I add in a little bit of butter and garlic salt with it before I top it with anything. Because if you're just dumping it or plain rice cauliflower tastes horrible. Normal cauliflower, love it. Cauliflower in an air fryer, love it.
Really?
Plain rice cauliflower.
I've never done cauliflower.
Tastes
in
like
air
a
fryer.
Dirty sock, I would imagine.
Really?
So it's one of those things where this is actually the first time I've made this dish, but anytime I get a fish maybe that I'm not used cooking, I'll go online and I'll see if there's something different that I can do with it. Of course, I brought in fried fish. I've got a little bit of smallmouth, some crappies, some bluegills. There's a couple of pieces of walleye tossed in there from the last couple of days of fishing. But, you know, anytime that I can do something different than the normal of frying, which everybody does, there's so many great ways to cook stuff. And everybody seems to go back to the normal, hey, always done it this way. We're going to throw it in the deep fryer, throw it in a pan. Funny one is fish in Stearns Bayou here a few weeks back, and I caught dogfish. Sorry, it was blanking there for a second.
Wow.
Which everybody's like, trash fish, kill it, throw it away.
I haven't seen one of those in a long time.
You know, and it's one of those ones where people don't eat them. So,
just like bass. We can't eat bass.
Bass are delicious. I made a Facebook post about that the other day on a Michigan Wild Edibles page. But you know what? I took the fish and I chunked it up, ran it through my food processor, added in some breadcrumbs and a couple seasonings, fried it up in a pan, and made a red pepper aioli sauce for it. It was absolutely delicious. It was like eating crab cakes.
I was wondering if you made cakes out of them.
Yeah. So, you know, and a lot of people, I always love it. I do a lot of posting on a page for, you know, people that bring stuff indoors from out of doors in Michigan. And of course, the guys are, oh yeah, you got to throw all that extra stuff in for that trash fish. I'm thinking, when you do your walleye, don't you put some seasonings with it and breadcrumb? Yeah. And fry it up.
And why is your stuff trash?
Same difference.
There's so many haters out there.
There are.
They hang out at those pages.
They just troll.
Yeah.
So I've caught dogfish before and have thrown them back. You know, if you're not a strong-willed man, you might even not want to touch it because they're an odd-looking fish.
It looks almost like a snake.
Right. Yep.
Yeah.
And, well, you know, and when I fish in the ocean, I'll catch mackerel sometimes, and everybody on the boat poo-poos them. And I'll take them because they call it a mac attack. When a bunch of mackerel come through, I mean, that's all you get. And they're a little strong. They're kind of like a, you know,
lake trout,
a less than fresh salmon. But if you do it right, if you brine them up and you put a bunch of lemon on them when you grill them, they're not bad.
You got to prepare things
and
the right
way. And you caught them.
Yeah.
You know, the big
they're
going
to die if you throw them back.
So, Brad, this is the fascinating part of your life that as I watch it, and I'm not you know stalking you, but I see what the things that, like that you do is you are a guy that finds a way to use pretty much anything you harvest.
Absolutely.
And there are a lot of people that you know would throw things away that you eat, and yet you're fit as a fiddle, and you're still here talking about it. So. It's interesting to me, and that's why I always like having you on the show is because you'll come up. I can bet that of the three listeners that are out there, none of them have had dogfish before to eat, and you just made it sound delicious.
Well, and the thing is just like anything else, just like Bob was talking about too, it needs to be cleaned properly, and it can't be frozen for a long period of time. The fish gets really mealy at that point, but otherwise is great. And that's why you find, if you guys give the curry a chance, I know we're kind of early this morning for curry. I didn't eat a big breakfast, so it was absolutely delicious.
I'm on it.
It's amazing. So,
all right. Well, that's cool.
So, you know, you're talking about cauliflower rice.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to cut carbs, too, because we're pool people, right?
Yeah.
And you want to be able to take your shirt off at the pool. So
too late, Bob.
So, it's all, I'm taking my shirt off right now. So
yeah.
So we're cutting carbs in our house too, and my wife loves mashed potatoes. So I'll take a bunch of cauliflower and throw in about 40% potato, 60% cauliflower. Boil it up quick and mash that up for mashed potatoes for her. It's actually almost better than mashed potatoes. Mm-hmm. There's just enough potato in there to make you think it's mashed potatoes, but it's really a lot of cauliflower. This is a fantastic way. You talk about cutting carbs. Fantastic way to cut carbs without, you know, you're not being ridiculous about it.
Yeah, it's a tough thing to do because, you know, eating out really isn't an option for me, which gives me a great venue to be outdoors and bring home my own food, which, you know, just like anything
so
else, when you hunt, you know, a delicious venison tenderloin that you've prepared for yourself, that you've harvested yourself, that you've, I mean, it just tastes better to me than going to a restaurant paying for a steak.
Yep.
That's just me.
And this is the first time by like June, I'm so sorry I only took one deer.
Yeah.
Because I'm out. I have nothing for the rest of the year. Nothing to throw on the grill, nothing to make jerky out of. So this season, it's going to be two.
Yep.
Coming up next, we're going to go out in the woods with Brad. This man is a forager. And you can tell he loves the outdoors and he spends a ton of time out there. But it always fascinates me the things that you found in the woods that you eat that other people would walk by and never even take a second look at. So you listen to The Grilling Guys. We're outdoors with Brad. Stick with us. We'll be back.
If you're feeling hungry and you want something to eat, make yourself a list and head on down to Sobey Meats, where our staff is always friendly and they all know our creed. Come on down to Sobey's and let us meet your needs. We have kielbasa, kapusta, chicken, pork, and beef, seafood and hot sticks, a snack that can't be beat. Dairy and deli, groceries, beer and wine. And once you shop at Sobey's, you'll shop there all the time.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey from Sobey Meats. Please stop by to see Teresa and myself and the whole gang for good old-fashioned service at 3450 Remembrance Road. Make sure you visit SobeyMeats.com for our specials, and thank you for your support.
So when you're feeling hungry and you want something to eat, make yourself a list and head on down to Sobey Meats. And if you're really satisfied, there's one way we can tell. When you leave the store, make sure you ring our bell.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mittful. Shooting sauce on ribs is what men do. We like meat, and no tofu. With me and Chop, it never gets dull. A grill's so big, it's like a ship's hull.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys, Grilling Guys Talk Network. We got Brad Ensing from Garrett's Appliances with us. Barbecue Bob is back in the chair, so we are hitting on all cylinders. But
I'm just trying this curry he made.
Yeah, Brad is on a new health kick for a lot of really good reasons, and lost a bunch of weight, but in that process has changed his eating habits, and we were talking about that in the previous segment. But Brad, what
as
I'd
you're
like,
dishing out that tartar sauce, it is with light mayo. So just
okay,
an FYI.
All right, yeah.
So do you use yogurt too?
I eat a lot of.
I mean, in your tartar?
No, I do not. This is just straight actual. The pepper relish is from my parents' garden. We make that, and
nice.
Then just a light mayo.
There's so much to talk about there.
Right.
My mom used to make pepper relish.
Love it.
I think I should this year.
Oh, it's amazing.
I know. Do you put a little bit of hot in with it?
So this is with jalapeno peppers in this relish.
And then sweet peppers, too.
Yep. So,
bananas.
Just a green pepper, actually.
Green.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So I was taking a bite of this curry, and you were saying it's a firm fish. What is it?
So this was a new one for me, and that's why I said, you know, you do a little reading to try to figure out what might work best. This is actually sheep's head.
Okay.
So
another what traditionally trash fish.
Yeah, something that someone normally would not eat.
I've thrown so many back.
And we caught a couple here with my nephew Ben, who also works at Garrett's with us in the delivery team.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I'm like, he caught him. I'm like, look that up. See if it online, see if it says anything about edibility. And they say, yeah, absolutely. So again, a little bit of special prep, nothing crazy. But again, a perfect example of a nice white flesh fish. You got to cut the mud line out. And I'll, just like every other fish, I'll bleed them. I'll cut their gills before I prepare them so you don't get, you know, blood inside your meat. But tasty fish. It's a little stronger than what you'd get with a bluegill or a,
yeah.
But not like going and getting...
Not hideous.
Not like
and
a salmon out of Lake Michigan
and you've got
that's
it
really
in the,
fishy.
And you've got it in the curry.
Yep, which,
so it covers, I mean, it. I think it tricks your mind enough to say, that's a little fishy, but oh, the curry's great.
Yeah, you've got the coconut milk in the curry with the spices as well, so it just blends really well together.
You mentioned...
it's delicious, Brad.
You mentioned Garrett's, and you can't help it, because you've been there how long?
Close to 30 years now.
Oh, my gosh.
I know, I don't look that old.
But you mentioned Ben's your nephew?
Yeah, so there's two Bens. We have Ben that works in delivery, which would be my nephew, and then
okay.
We have Ben, one of the owner's sons, Ben.
Oh, no. Your nephew delivered my appliances.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Ben's a good kid.
When we put our new kitchen in.
Okay.
Yeah, he's really nice.
Yeah.
Him and a real big guy.
I don't know who the big guy is. It's
doesn't matter.
No,
I just thought that was kind of funny.
I don't want to make someone feel self-conscious on one of our installation teams.
No, just very strong.
Okay. Then it was probably me. No, we
My nephew, because you go on so many deliveries. Yeah,
I do more than I probably should. But my nephew Ben and I just fish a ton too, and I actually, he's the one that we were out when we caught this here not a couple days back. So, you were mentioning that that muskie. So that was a new one for me.
Well, supposedly that's a fish of 1,000 hours.
Yeah,
right?
10,000 casts, I think, or they say something like that. And I will tell you, I've done a lot more than 10,000 casts in my life, and that was my first muskie, and it scared the living bejesus
out of me. What kind of muskie was it?
It was a tiger muskie.
Yeah, that's what I caught.
Yep.
I only caught one.
Yeah, and it was completely not expected. Fishing with the wife. If you need some tartar, it's
no,
right there.
I would never. This is fantastic.
Wonderful.
Some beautifully. So talk about your muskie.
Yeah, so we were fishing the Grand River. We actually have a launch right below our house about a quarter mile away, and it was actually Mother's Day. My wife said, hey, you know, let's leave the daughters at home. Let's go out fishing for a little bit, which means she lays on the back of the boat, reads a book, whatever. I get to fish. It's win-win. We were making the bend down by the old BFE or the Grand River Garden Chinese place right under the bridge at Lake Michigan Drive there.
And, anybody using that now?
It's a home now.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, it's actually a really nice looking place. And cast in spinnerbait to some nice slack water, and that thing slammed me. And the wife was trying to net it when I got it to the boat. And I kept telling her, you got to net it from the head. So she kept trying to get it from the tail end side. And I finally, I'm fighting this fish, which was about 15-pound muskie.
Ooh, that's a nice one.
Yeah.
It was beautiful.
Yeah, it's just under.
They're strong.
They are strong. So I actually was fighting the fish, netting it, and trying to keep myself in the current trolling motor with my foot pedal on my bass boat while we were. So got it in the net, broke my net, but got it in the boat, got some nice pictures, and sent it back on its way.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you measure it?
Yeah, I did a measure. And then I did a, I didn't have a scale with me, so I took a girth and a length and then did a table on it. So,
25, 26 inch, something like that?
No, it was 37 and a half inches.
Holy cow.
So, state of Michigan, according to the DNR, you're allowed to keep one muskie a year. That has to be reported to the DNR, and it has to be 40 inches or over. To be considered a legal fish.
And didn't they like invent that fish? Isn't that a hybrid?
So
DNR
tiger muskie is a hybrid. And I'm trying to remember what it's a hybrid between, but yes, it is a hybrid tiger muskie.
Pretty fish.
Beautiful.
Pretty
fish.
When we used to fish up at the Manaskong, Manaskong Bay up in the UP.
UP.
Yeah. Yep. Great walleye spot. I caught one of those there, and I'm like, what the heck is. Beautiful fish, but I didn't know what it was. And the guy in the boat next to me said, that's a tiger muskie.
Yeah.
I'm like, no kidding.
Yeah, so, if you've never seen one, you can go to Cabela's in Granville, and they've got one in a case mounted. But it's a state record one. It's when you walk in the doors to the right, and I don't know how big it is. I don't know the stats on it, but it's a giant fish with teeth that are like, you know.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it makes you want to go swimming.
Right.
Thick trunks on, let's put it that way.
So let's talk about what you did to this fish, because that fish is so perfect.
Okay.
What kind of fish is it?
So we're talking the fried fish right now. Okay, so we're off the curry, we're to the fried fish. So with my fish, I cut them into about 2 to 3 inch pieces. I use a flour mixture for my first dredge. I pat them dry. I use a flour, a little garlic salt, garlic powder, little onion powder. There's a little cayenne in with it.
I can feel it now.
Yeah, a little bit of heat.
Just enough.
Then after the flour, I put them into an egg milk wash, and then I put them into more of a Cajun seasoning fry mix. And then these sat for probably about 45 minutes from when I breaded them this morning to when I threw them in the fryer here at work. And I fry it about 300.
And it's breading?
Yeah, it's like a breading mix.
It's got carbs, bread.
Yeah. Just remember, there's not a lot of breading on there.
So that'd be a good one for... extra Cajun.
Yep.
So you, a couple steps in there, you're not cooking, you're cooking boneless fillets.
Correct. Yep. I take all bone. You know, every once in a while I miss a bone, but I try to do
my best. Yeah. But he does that. But my point was, is you weren't using whole fish.
No.
You were using
boneless
fillets.
Back to the first question. What kind of fish was it?
So there is a little bit of, in there, I have bluegill. Okay. I have a couple pieces of walleye. There were some, a couple smallmouth bass in there as well.
I think that was bass that I had.
There was a white bass in there as well.
Well, that was wonderful.
So
wonderful.
Yeah.
I really like... And Randy does a lot more fish fries than I do. It's just not, my mom was into it. I never, never messed with it, but I'd really like to get a little bit better at it. And in my mind, that's perfect.
It's easy.
So I've got one question. Now, you said we got your battering technique, which is pretty traditional.
Yep.
Great. But what I've never done that you did is let it set for 45 minutes before I cook it. I mean, I'm doing the batter into the oil because it's a production. You can only do so many pieces of fish at a time.
Right.
And when you're feeding a bunch of people, you want to blow it through there as quick as you can. But did it impact it by setting that long?
Why I like to do that is when you take it right out of your final breading stage, a lot of that breading is still really loose.
Yep.
When you let it sit there for 30, 40 minutes,
it bonds.
It starts soaking in. So then you don't get as much going into your fryer loose.
Right.
And I find you get a little bit, in my opinion, a little bit crispier and a little bit of a thicker
feeling. I'm telling you, that crispiness is... Did you try a piece yet?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
it's just perfect.
That's why I like doing it, though, too, where I do just more of a hand bite size because
right.
then you get that breading all the way around.
And you feel like you get more fish.
It's like a chicken nugget.
Yeah.
A fish
yeah.
nugget.
So, you know? So again, you're patting it dry. You're...
breading with flour and seasoning.
Yep. All right. Well, coming up next, we might get in the woods and do some foraging, but we might not too. But we also want to cover some of the new equipment this year, Brad, that Garrett's Appliances have that our listeners could come over and check out. So you're listening to Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, it's Barbecue Bob. My wife and I recently built a new addition to our home and remade the kitchen. We went to Garrett's and picked out all of our products so that everything would fit in his space well. The selection was from best price to best quality, and the service was great. The delivery team was courteous and careful. Go to Garrett's Appliance, and while you're there, check out the huge selection of top brands of grills and smokers from North America. Garrett's Appliance, where families serve families. Garrett'sAppliance.com.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
I like fire.
The Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Man, Brad, anytime you come into the studio, our conversations, I had a show plan, but it doesn't matter because our conversations just follow the fascinating stuff that you do. And I think that many of our listeners, including myself and maybe Bob, I'll let him speak for himself, but
about time.
I don't do this creative of stuff that you're doing. And so I think it's anybody can do it. You know, these aren't secrets. And it's not like you're a trained chef, but you just practice and you read and you understand and then you try it.
So do you live on the Grand River?
So there's a park that separates the Grand River from our house. So we're very, very
close. So it's nothing to put the boat in water?
No. From my house to have boat in water, 5 minutes if I want.
And to that big old restaurant you were talking about? Half hour?
If I'm fishing the entire way, probably about a half hour, 45 mm-hmm. minutes.
And then you've got another, almost an hour to Lake Michigan from there.
Yeah, I never go that far. I like fishing on the river. I'd much rather be in a lake, but it's starting to grow on me.
It's easy.
It's, you know, you fish with a trolling motor with a current, and then you ride the big motor back up. So,
yep.
Yeah.
And you don't lose any props?
No. No, haven't yet, but my bass boat doesn't tread very deep when I'm at full bore.
Yeah.
It just flies skidding across the
just
water.
Just got the prop in the water.
Yeah. So we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about Garrett's Appliances. We mentioned you've been there 30 years. This is West Michigan's premier appliance store, and they've been affiliated with our show forever, and we're so grateful for that. But they
have two of them, actually.
Right, yep. So, but what I'd like you to do is tell me anything new this year that hit the store that would be an outdoor cooking arena?
Yeah, so I would say nothing majorly new, minus the fact that we just brought on Broil King as a grilling line.
Nice.
Made between the U.S. of A. and Canada. Nothing further south than basically the U.S. border, or I should say, yeah, the U.S. border. We still are doing a lot with some of the pizza ovens. Pizza ovens have been pretty hot. So we brought on Gosney pizza ovens, called the Rock Box, which I have at home, which I really enjoy using. Still a plethora of people out there using pellet style grills. So we have a good selection of those.
And you're probably selling more pellets these days.
We do. We carry pellets. We have a crazy amount of seasonings, rubs, sauces, pellets, accessories. So
it just keeps growing.
You know what? If you've got a dad or a mom, girlfriend, boyfriend, Father's Day, yeah. I mean, it's a great time to get in. And maybe you don't have that $500, $600, $10,000 to spend on a grill. But you know what? A couple bags of pellets or some great rub seasonings. Great way to get out of there for, you know, 20 to 40 to 50 bucks and bring dad home something that he'll love and he'll use.
Now, do you still do the coyote?
Coyote, yep. Yep, it depends. If you've killed them, you could call them a yote, a coyote,
right,
or a coyote.
Well, I'm from Reed City.
Yeah, so
our coyote. Our team are the coyotes.
Yeah, I think he's referring to a family pet.
Yeah, exactly. So yes, we still have the coyote grills, and they have some mixes between pellet grills, normal gas grills. They even have a combo one that has charcoal on one side.
Are the accessories for the coyote all Acme?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, Acme.
There's a roadrunner chasing
around. Yeah, right, beep, beep.
So did they come out with a griddle?
So they do have a built-in griddle, and if I remember correctly, I believe it's a 30-inch built-in.
I thought I saw it in the HPBA magazine.
There's two griddles that we can get built-in, one by Artisan, which is a super high-end out of California, and the other one is the Coyote.
How about Alfresco?
So Alfresco, Artisan, same company.
Oh, okay. It looked like it, but
Artisan
I couldn't
is just
tell.
The little bit lower version or the little more entry-level version.
I always liked Alfresco.
Yeah, they make some really nice grills. You're going to pay for it, but you only got to buy it once, right?
Yeah.
That's
And they make almost everything in California.
Yeah, pretty much everything is coming out of California.
I don't know how they can do that. But yeah,
bringing this back all the way around to fishing.
Yeah.
I made a walleye.
I'll talk about fishing all day long.
I made a walleye pizza in my Rock Box, and it took two or three goes to figure it out. But
can you tell us what a Rock Box is?
Well, it's just the pizza oven that he has on his house, and I have one too now. And I love it. It's like the newest toy on my repertoire, and it's fantastic.
It's not expensive.
No.
You know?
Nope.
No, what are they, $700?
No, it's like $500, $500 and below. Now, you can get upper models that are larger that'll cost you a good chunk more on big stands, but I'll throw mine right in the back of my pickup truck and take it anywhere. I take it up to the cottage with me. Fire it up, let it heat up for normally about 12, 15 minutes. Base will be about 600 degrees, and I can turn a pizza in there in probably about 3 minutes, two
Amazing.
To 3 minutes.
Yeah, it is, and they're
Randy
wonderful.
Randy talks about his all the time.
Oh, I love it. And
now I have to get one.
Yeah.
just
they're
kidding.
Good. they're a good toy. I did two. I added two things to it I didn't when I bought it that I should have, and that is I got a little front door, I call it. It's a little shelf, half-moon shelf that clips on the front. It's so convenient when you pull the pizza out because the other thing is a turning peel, right? And it's smaller. It's about maybe like 6 inches in diameter, and you put it under the pizza, and then you can just spin it, give it a quarter turn, and it spins inside the oven because the oven is, the heat source is in the back, and it's hotter back there than it is anywhere else, so you got to turn it so it doesn't burn. So there's a little technique to it, but at the end of the day, man, that thing produces just wonderful, wonderful pizzas. I've had problems with it. If anybody else has got one, my biggest problem was I was getting it too hot because it'll go to 1,000 degrees.
Yep.
Well, your crust burned before it cooked on that surface. So I agree with you. That 6 to 650 is where you want to cook
money
on that
spot.
Thing. Yeah, it's where you want to cook on that thing. And then your toppings get done is before your crust burns. So it's wonderful because you're getting heat. The temperature in that is on the stone. It's not the ambient.
So what else is hot right now at Garrett's?
Besides myself?
That's right.
No, ladies, I'm not available. Jeez. I'm just saying. Yeah. To the two of them out there that are listening, and both of them are probably your wives, but hey,
my wife doesn't listen. She hears too much at home.
You know, outside of that, the appliance world has been pretty status quo. You know, manufacturers are coming out just like all the time with some new model numbers, some different revs. Air fry has been a hotter thing on the market right now in ranges, which is basically a high heat convection.
Yeah, I just
cycle.
Got a thing from Thermador that I can program my oven to turn it into an air fryer.
Yep. It's basically just a high heat convection cycle.
That's cool.
So that's been pretty hot. Outside of that, a lot of dishwashers going on right now. Quiet is King, Third Rack, stuff like that. Big BTUs on ranges. Induction's been really hot when it's coming to cooking now. Indoor for electric induction ranges that work off magnets.
I have sent a ton of people to you after talking about the Speed Queens we bought for my wife. That washer and dryer. They're like tanks.
Yeah. So Speed Queen, it's a conversation I have a lot with customers is, you know, Speed Queen is by far, I would say, the best built laundry unit on the market. And I always tease when I have younger couples come in or couples with families, I'm like, you know, Speed Queen might be the best built, but it might not be the right machine for you. So that's what I really like to do with my clients is talk them through the pluses and minuses.
Back to your other comment about women.
Mm-hmm. Oh, geez.
It's
just going sideways.
We get so many comments from women on this show. It's crazy. So
it's
there
me.
Are.
I got a bunch of Facebook accounts. I've been.
There are. It's always the same girl.
Yeah.
No, but there are plenty of. I get a lot of emails from women for different things, and I'm telling you, we have more women listeners than I would have ever imagined.
Really?
Because it's radio.
Good.
They don't see us.
Yeah. Well, you can post up a picture of me on the thing. I'm holding some macarons and some sheephead curry.
Sheephead.
You know.
Yeah, boy. You guys, you're really throwing down the gauntlet, drawing the women
south
in here.
Real quick,
right,
hasn't it?
Yeah.
We might as well get Conrad in on this, too. The poor guy's getting left alone.
Yeah, he'll be fine. I stole his microphone today, so he's not allowed to talk.
Well,
if we could get
a few more advertisers, we could get four.
Right, yeah, right. By the studio, right? Yeah. But anyway, hey, Brad, we'd be remiss if we didn't ask you, where can people find Garrett's and... In the city of Grand Rapids.
Absolutely. We got two locations, 28th and Byron Center Avenue, which is our location we started at. And then
gigantic.
We also, yeah, it's huge. It goes way, way back. It looks a lot smaller from the outside than it is on the inside. And then our secondary location, which is over in Kentwood, Michigan, right over by East Paris in 29th Street. We kind of butt up right to William's Kitchen and Bath.
Does Kathy still work there?
Kathy still works.
Esther?
Esther is retired.
Oh,
Kathy is semi-retired
Kathy,
at some point
big
in time. So, come visit us. Our team, we're happy to answer questions. We're, of course, a full servicing dealer. We service the products that are purchased through Garrett's only. Our own in-house delivery and installation crews. We're just a great bunch of people that want to help you
your
pick out
service,
the right appliances.
Yeah, your service is top notch.
And you've got third or fourth generation in the company now.
Fourth generation.
Yeah,
right
that's what
now.
I said. There you go. This is
and
a West Michigan
and it's
business.
Growing. It's right. Not like, you know, they ruined it.
Yep.
They're not spoiled kids. They're out there in trucks.
All right. Well, we appreciate you tuning in. Get out to Garrett's if you need appliances or great Father's Day gifts. But you've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Get out in your backyard, create a little grill envy, and we'll talk with you next week.
See ya.